Hello and welcome to episode 185 of the 6-1 IndyCast. My name is Mike Towndrow. Tonight I am joined by Kyle Stevenson.
Let's see how long I last.
Weird out of context, Becca Smith.
Hello.
And for the first time on the 6-1 IndyCast, the brand new member of the 6-1 Indy crew, Will Cruz.
Hey, everyone. Also, don't give me anything as of yet. Let me earn something. Once you said, hey, you're credited under something, I'm like, but I've done nothing. That was enough of a sign to
Will
be like, all right, let me do
something. Will Cruz single-handedly put together the 6-1 Indy Showcase.
Okay. All right. Calm down.
He was the puppet master behind it all.
Hell no. You guys were pinging left and right, and I'm like, why is there a panic? Also, there's a fantasy thing. I'm lost.
Not gonna lie, I muted the Fantasy Critic channel. I was like, I don't need this.
That's hilarious. It's a lot.
I'll check in once in a while. Two things. First, disclaimer. I think we might blip out of existence for a little bit. Kyle might blip out of existence for a little bit. Recording's a bit funky tonight. So fair warning. If you see something weird, don't worry about it.
Secondly, see something, say something.
If you see something, say something. Will.
Yes.
Who are you?
A dweeb who got lucky. That's the best way I could describe anything. Context. Hi, I'm Will. I go by at Will C Blogs pretty much everywhere on social. And the best way to describe it is I, like Mike, in the Northeast, was born and raised in New York. And when I went to college at one point, I was like, you know what? I'm having a lot of downtime, which then I kind of dove into writing as if I knew how to write. Like, I barely speak English as is, and it's my first language. But that passion started, ended up working with video for a website called True Achievements. And then somehow I had friends that I made through there who was like, you should go here. So then I started writing for The Escapist and started producing content for them for reviews and then previews, anything that they could have gotten. And just kind of like, weird to say, freelance wherever the opportunity arises. So sometimes I've tried to like submit pieces for IGN. I've been featured with Game Informer. Like it's a weird sort of background, but I'm just a nerd, and I keep saying I get lucky because that passion propelled me where I'm at now, where I currently work at Ubisoft, which is it's Ubisoft. You know how Ubisoft is. Quadruple A games, right?
Ubisoft, who closed an indie game showcase yesterday. Yeah, that guy. I know them.
Listen, I know nothing. I just know I'm following their social media policy. So if you ask me anything, next question.
Mike Towndrow's statement on Ubisoft does not reflect the thoughts of one Will Cruz.
Seriously. And don't you want the... Have you not seen the game that we're dropping? The Rogue of Prince of Persia?
Yeah, it looks dope.
Looks great.
This came out of left field to me. And I'm like, where is this situation? It's the funniest thing I have is dealing with socials and seeing all these people talk about like the amazing things that are there. More so excited. Like they like the Lost Crown and they seeing two and another one's a win. And then you get the 99% that was like, do you remember when Assassin's Creed was good? And I'm like, oh, here we are. It's always a battle. But I have a lot of background with indies. I've written. I can't speak. See, look, struggling. I've written. Written for a couple of years. This is why I have editors. So it's been a while and I kind of felt tapped out. Hence the reason when Mike was like, hey, I do things with indies. And I was like, no way. Maybe I can do things with indies. And here we are. And I still think Becca's playing Balatro.
Shit.
Next question. She's a reflection of the Joker's in her glasses.
I have minimized it now.
I'm not here to judge. Do what you do. I've once did a whole work meeting and everyone's like, are we? Why are all our cameras off? And then boss says, well, I'm playing Power World. And I go, no way, I'm playing Power World. And then it was just the whole meeting of everyone playing Power World. So,
well, Will, it's a pleasure to have you on the crew.
Thank you.
Excited to see you do your thing. You help us out with like some video stuff, social media stuff. Get your words on the website, all that good stuff.
Quite frankly, so. I say juice me out. That sounds bad. Don't say juice me out.
All juicy, baby.
Next question.
That's off to a really, really strong start, Will.
Quite frankly, it's one of those days. I feel like, I don't know, this Thursday feels like the Mondayest Thursday I've ever had. So I'm trying to balance. Like, I was like, okay, I need the good vibes from here. Because right now, I was going insane prior. I was like, oh, everybody wants me to lose my things. Outside of work, outside of just the day-to-day. Hopefully, everyone's day is better than mine at the moment.
Well, I'm trying to have a 3-day weekend now, so we're good. Yeah,
kind of. I stupidly booked a meeting on my day off, so I have to go in tomorrow for a little bit. It's fine.
And it'll be awesome.
Oh, he'll be back. There he is.
Well, speaking of that blip, I guess, I don't know, weird transition. You are listening to the 6-1 IndieCast, a weekly video game podcast amplifying the indie scene, a smaller games outside of the AAA space. New episodes drop each and every Monday morning on all major podcast feeds and youtube.com/6-1indie. Supporters on patreon.com/6-1indie could tune in live as we record and gain access to Clocked Out, the IndieCast post show. But money is tight, no worries, you still could show your support with a simple click. Wherever you're listening, go ahead and leave this podcast a review, follow 6-1indie on socials, subscribe and hit the bell on YouTube, follow on Twitch, and tell your friends all about us. Shout out to the PD fans supporting on Patreon: Brett Griffin, Kobe Cordis, Ellie, JC, Jill Grote, Marcus O'Neill, Nicholas Johnson, Nicole Humphrey, Play It Jason, Silkanet, The Compound, and Cole, aka The Good Sir. Speaking of indie showcases, in case you missed it, nearly a month ago now, I can't believe it's almost been a month ago. Holy shit. The 6-1 Indie Showcase dropped on March 20th. If you go to 6-1indie.com/showcase, you can check out the 39 banger indie titles that we showed off. I think it is 19 developer interviews, 10 hands-on preview impressions, and a 3.5-hour post-show where we discuss some of the behind-the-scenes stuff and get into more detail about each one of the games. Wonderful discussion. The next one, a little bit of a teaser for you. We originally said August 29th, no longer August 29th. We'll talk about that in June, though.
Surprise!
Surprise! Don't worry about it. And of course, happening later in the year, the Indie Awards presented by 6-1 Indie. So, yeah. Follow along. Support your boys. Support your lads. Support your girls.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. I don't know. I got nothing.
You, Kyle, saying it's been a month since the showcase also means it's been a month since I saw you in person, which is wild.
Feels like I saw you last week.
Exactly. It's crazy. Oh, yeah. Nicholas Johnson, chat saying there's a lot of tension in this podcast. It's not between Mike and Kyle this time. It's all fake tension for the cameras.
It's all fake tension. Kyle, we're going to start this week with Kyle's quickfire new segment.
Ooh, which I guess is a new news segment.
That's it. It rolls off the tongue.
That's good. I shockingly did not know that the BAFTA Game Awards were happening today. 20th anniversary of it, of the British.
Shit.
Apparently of the WikiLeak, if I'm reading that correctly, 20th British Academy Game Awards. I'm just going to highlight some of the indies that won. Shocker, not a whole lot won. Venbo won Best Debut, which is awesome, but please play Venba. It's fantastic. Is that free DLC out?
I was just going to ask that.
I should have looked that up beforehand.
I can find out, but I'm going to be careful because last week my keyboard was loud. Oh.
Also, Nicholas Johnson said that it's the juicing tension from Will. That's the tension.
Oh, yeah, that would go to Shark.
You need a fair amount of tension when you are juicing another human
very
being.
Much.
So
absolutely. I didn't feel uncomfortable until it was repeated.
Outside of Venva winning Best Debut, Viewfinder won Best Original Property and Best British Game, which is an interesting category.
Bruv.
And the final, like, true quote-unquote indie, Chia won Best Game Beyond Entertainment. So it's like a Games for Impact kind of thing, which is kind of cool. Chia's awesome. Played Chia.
She's awesome.
Coming to Switch now as well.
Oh,
so.
Is it? That's dope.
Yeah.
Still haven't played it.
Venba DLC is out.
Sweet. Oh, shit. All right.
Nice.
Awesome. Gotta play it.
Venba's awesome. Yeah. All these games are honestly some of my favorites of the last year or so.
Wait, I've just seen that post is from March 15th. So if there's another DLC, it's not out yet.
No, it's probably the same one. No,
it's probably that one.
Okay.
There's also an actual cookbook either out or coming out as well, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, congrats to all of our British friends.
Also, not to get into it, Dave the Diver won Best Game Design over like Tears of the Kingdom.
Wild.
Other bigger Spider-Man 2.
That game, I will say it to the high heavens. That game has so much going on. It's ridiculous.
I'll find out in 5 days when it comes to PlayStation.
was Cocoon nominated there?
It was.
Wild.
Yeah, come on.
Are you kidding me?
Another quick fire news. Admiral Well secretly added to the PS Plus day one on May 9th. So you're a PS Plus extra subscriber. You're going to get Admiral Well day one along with Dave the Diver next week. And then in 2 weeks, Tales of Kenzaro Zao. So keep it up, PlayStation.
I would say Admiral Well, not like it really needed this, but like kudos to Admiral Well getting this additional push because May 9th is a gnarly day.
Yes, it is.
May 9th is Animal Well, Indica, Gift, Crow Country, Corporation coming to consoles, and Surmount.
There's also a Pac-Man like Battle Royale game coming out May 9th as well.
No way. Really? That's dope.
Yeah.
I'm kind of here for it.
I think PlayStation tweeted it out, I think, yesterday. It's like you take over other players' mazes and try to mess them up.
Ooh. Oh, shit. That sounds sick.
Yeah.
I'm kind of
and not to mention May 7th, 2 days prior, Adventure to the Vile and Heading Out, which got a lot of buzz out of PAX East. We didn't get to play it, but people really like that. So, yeah. Kudos to Animal Well for getting the pop of PlayStation push.
Yeah.
My birthday weekend's going to be jam-packed with lots of indies to play.
Lots of indies.
And then on the bigger side of indies, Vampire Survivors finally coming to PlayStation this summer, as seen on the Triple I Showcase. Yeah.
And also Vampire the other Survivors half of the news of this. Contra DLC,
but not coming to PlayStation.
Fair.
Okay. Wait, what?
So the Contra DLC is coming to every other version of Vampire Survivors except for the just announced PlayStation.
Fix it in post.
You're fine. We can fix it in post.
Contra DLC is coming to every edition of Vampire Survivors except for the PlayStation one that was just announced. It's very strange.
That's weird. Yeah, probably later. You'd imagine.
You think?
I wonder, Gray, I didn't look into many of the details or anything. I wonder if like the PlayStation version of Vampire Survivors like has all the DLC included already. Are you going to have to buy those piecemeal?
That's a good point. I don't know. Yeah.
Granted, the DLCs are like a buck each, so like whatever. Yeah. And they're like pretty meaty DLCs. But yeah, it would be nice to just kind of throw them together. There might be like a PlayStation bundle kind of thing.
And it will have a platinum, which is great.
Oh, is that confirmed?
Yep.
Hell yeah. Hmm. Obviously, the other big piece of news is the Triple I Showcase. If you head on over to our sister podcast, the Indie Council, myself, Jenny, Jill, and Janet talked about it to exhaustion, you know, highlights, and then also the whole Ubisoft thing where we have a heated discussion about if Ubisoft is a Triple I
dodged a bullet
publisher. So yeah, go listen over there. Obviously, we gotta with Will here. We gotta be a little careful and.
Well, no. You have your time. You can say it. I just can't.
And also, me and Kyle worked on a couple of the games that were shown. So.
Oh. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So yeah, head on over to Indie Council if you want to check out Triple I discussions.
We have thoughts. We'll get into them one day.
I can listen when no one can tell. Then I'll ping you and be like, "Good job." Just because you produced it.
Full disclosure, like, the games shown were dope.
Oh, nothing against the games.
Yeah, nothing against the games themselves.
Absolutely not.
Even Prince of Persia. Like, Prince of Persia, I'm so stoked that, like, a small indie developer is working on that IP.
The Dead Cells developer. Are you kidding me?
That's like Dead Cells DLC developer.
Yeah, sure. But that's like a match made in heaven. It's great.
Incredible.
It's
also just kills me because where I previously, like, if we looked like maybe a couple months to, like, almost a year ago, like, I was an associate producer, so 9 times out of 10, I would hear all these other cool things of what's going to happen, and now I find out just when the public does, and I'm like, it's kind of refreshing to not have that sort of stressor because it's something to support or, like, whatever. And I'm like, oh, good to go. Yeah. Plus, honestly, Prince of Persia twice in the same year, that's a big one. I like that.
It's about damn time. But enough about Prince of Persia. Let's talk about games we've been playing. And I would like to start out with Children of the Sun, which I need to grab the developer name. Children of the Sun.
The news was going around how it reviewed very well, not selling a whole lot of copies, which is a bummer.
So developer responded to that tweet, which was tweeted by a mutual friend of Becca and myself. Developer's like, it is doing well on their end. They're happy with sales, like stuff like that. So Children of the Sun by Renee Rother and, of course, published by Devolver Digital. Children of the Sun is probably the most punk rock game of the year. This game is a gnarly, grungy, Technicolor acid trip of a video game. It is essentially a first-person shooter strategy game. You play as a young girl who was born into a cult, and this young girl has seemingly supernatural powers where she could control a bullet. The narrative setup is that your father took his own life, probably because of something with the cult. So the entire goal of the game is you are pretty much just on a rampage to take down the cult. So it is a stage-based video game. Each stage has a certain number of enemies that you have to take down. And think of it sort of like a diorama where there is the stage in front of you and you're able to move strictly left and right in order to find good vantage points. All you can do is move left and right and you can aim down the sights. As you're aiming down the sights, you can mark enemies and try to carve out your path. Now, the cool thing that Children of the Sun does comes in the strategy part of the things. You fire the bullet. As you hit one enemy, you're able to, it pretty much slows down time and you're able to freeform aim the bullet once again and shoot another enemy. So let's say I'm aiming at one dude straight in front of me, hit him. I'm able to aim to like the far right and shoot the next enemy. And you're essentially trying to perfectly get every single enemy with one single shot. The game keeps, I guess, like refreshing itself, where when you think that simple, not simple, when that core mechanic is getting, I guess, a little old, or you feel like it's overstaying its welcome, maybe, it introduces a new mechanic. So like the first thing it introduces is the ability to slow down the bullet, like mid path, and aim it and like curve it around walls or obstacles, similar to like a wanted situation. So you could fire, like, let's say you're firing at a wall and there's an enemy behind the wall. You can fire at the wall or like to the left of the wall, slow down the bullet and use the thumbstick to curve around and hit the enemy and then continue your path. As that starts to get, like, if you start feeling a little too accustomed to that, it introduces another mechanic where you can fire at enemies that have weak points. Once you hit two weak points, you gain the ability to freely re-aim your bullet. So you could shoot. A couple, Kyle blipped out of existence again. Hi, welcome back, Kyle. So you can fire. Once you have the ability to re-fire or re-aim freely, you can shoot wherever in the distance. You hit the left trigger. You're able to freeform 360 and find different vantage points. I just got to another level where then we introduce like full armored enemies and you have to do like a power shot. So you need to, like, there was a situation where there was an enemy with a full set of armor inside of a building, and I needed to make sure that I had a clear path straight ahead that was super far away, and just so I had enough time for the bullet to reach like maximum speed. There were so many times where I like didn't have the proper distance and it would just like automatically fail, even though I felt like the speed like ramped up enough, but you have to be like full speed. So it was like, make sure my bullet is like take out the six dudes, have my refire ready, shoot like way into the woods, wait until like I'm 100, 150 meters out, hit re-trigger, do a 180 and fire directly at the dude and make sure I'm full speed ahead to knock him out. The game is so intricate. It's so interesting. It's not usually my kind of game. I am not a strategy person, but man, there's something about this. It could be the vibe. It could be the aesthetic. It could be just how gnarly and fucked up and like just gritty this thing is, but it works. And when you solve a puzzle, because that's what it is, it's just they're all strategy puzzles, it is so goddamn satisfying, especially when there is a stage where like there are people driving cars and like drifting around racetracks and you have to like hit the driver as he's like drifting around a bunch of different obstacles, and like just, it's fantastic. I believe 21 stages. I think I'm a little more than halfway through it. I probably put like an hour and a half into it so far. But I'm excited to go through it and then replay them for like the additional challenges, which we'll get to in a second after Kyle Stevenson asks a question.
Have you played this listening to Freak on a Leash from Korn yet?
God, I should.
Imagine you're in the music video.
Oh, man. That's what this is. Children of the Sun.
When you said
Freak Unleashed the video game.
When you said controlling a bullet, I just thought I was like, Oh my God, that's the music video.
That's wild.
Are you just realizing this, Mike?
Yeah, that's the first.
I just realized it.
I feel like when I first like had a chance to check out the demo or what I think it was for the Next Fest, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Next Fest.
So I had a chance to play a little bit of it and I didn't go crazy. I was just like, oh, okay. I dig the vibe. Quite frankly, with Next Fest, you got to kind of dip and dive and see where, okay, this has had my interest long enough. But the first thing that came to mind was I just heard the first opening notes of Freak Unleashed. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of feel like a problem right now. I feel like I'm doing some John Wick level things and I'm a little concerned.
Yeah. So it's like, it's Freak Unleashed. It's John Wick. It's Wanted. That's what this video game is with some gnarly cult themes to it.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of puzzles that make it a lot more intricate than it. It's one of those things where, quite frankly, because I previously reviewed so many games, you guys were just talking about like Chia, and I was like, I did a review for Chia saying like, hey, because I was playing when it was an EGS exclusive. I was like, if you can get it here, wait till a patch is out and then cop it. And similar to this, we were talking a little bit about, what was this other game that I was reviewing? There was this other game that I'm slacking on the name, but I had a chance to go play, and it kind of reminded me how indie games, realistically, when they add puzzles, like kind of sneak it into whether it be narrative or whether it be actual gameplay. I appreciate that so much more rather than when it's in front of me. Like when I had to play like Resident Evil and they threw the remake and they're like, hey, do this little puzzle. I'm like, this wasn't in the original. And here I am like a dummy trying to rotate a circular ball to show an image of some sort. Yet I didn't appreciate it because it was forced. When I was kind of like, I guess it sounds like a child when you have to sneak in like the veggies. When I didn't know and it was there, oh, so much more appreciated. It's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, this game rocks. The thing I left out, there is an additional layer where each stage has kind of a hidden challenge to it. So like each stage, it has like the name of the stage and under the name of the stage is like a subtitle. And the subtitle is like a riddle of sorts. So let's say the riddle might be, I'm just going to make something up because I can't. They're a lot more intricate and clever than this, but bullets hurt more when they're on fire. So what that means is, I interpreted that as, oh, okay, so I need to make sure I shoot my bullet through fire and then kill an enemy. And sure enough, I did that and the little goal pops up or the riddle pops up and it crosses out. So each stage has something like that. At first, they're pretty literal and simple to figure out and simple to maneuver. But man, once you start getting to those later stages, I have no idea what they mean, despite like being 100% certain that's what they mean. Like there's a stage I just finished with, you're in a train yard and there's two train tracks with two trains going on each track in different directions. And I think the riddle was like just passing through. So I was like, oh, okay. So I have to fire through the train cars, like through the windows, through the open doors, whatever it may be, and kill an enemy that way. Wasn't that. And like I tried that challenge like multiple times and it just wasn't that. Hello, welcome back, Kyle.
Every time.
I'm curious how it's gonna look in post.
It's gonna be great.
But yeah, the additional layer of things, like I'm trying to knock out those riddles like as I play, but I'm really excited to like just play through it organically, and then maybe in a few weeks, once there's a guide or something, I'll go back and clean up the achievements. All the achievements are just tied to those riddles, which is a clean way to kind of do achievements. I like that. That's how I know there's 21 stages.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you is if you've dove into like messy with alternate solutions to each level after you solved it, but you kind of just answered it.
Yeah, like if I know what the riddle puzzle is or the additional challenge is and I haven't done it, I'll go back and try different ways. Yeah, that too. It just encourages you to be a little more creative with your kills. One of them I just mentioned that drifting stage where like there's two people in driving cars and one of those is a pickup truck and somebody's on the like truck bed of the pickup. One of them was like drifting away or something like that. So I thought in my mind, I was like, oh, I have to shoot the driver while he's drifting and maybe like the car crashes and like sends the other dude flying or something it wasn't that. But I tried that like multiple times thinking like that was the solution. Clearly it's not. So like I give it a few goes and I kind of step back and be like, okay, I'll wait for whatever the solution is for a guy to point me in the right direction. I'll give it another go. I also didn't mention that in between certain stages, there is beautiful illustrations that run you through the narrative. It's not like voice acted or anything. It's just strictly visual, but it gives you kind of a background of who the girl is, her powers, what the cult is up to. Really beautiful stuff. It feels like a Vertigo comic kind of, or like an old school Dark Horse comic, like just super scratchy. Like, again, it's just completely my vibe. And in between some of the stages there's, I guess if you want to call it this, there's like mini game stages to help break up the action a little bit. Like one of them was called Breakfast Time. So you had to do the shooting puzzle except killing members of the cult. You had to kill 3 birds and like 7 fishes to get your meal for the day. So like you're just firing from like land or from sea to air, like trying to figure out the best path to wipe out all the fish and wipe out all the birds. There's another one that was like essentially, funny that we talked about it a second ago, but something that's essentially Pac-Man, where like you are in a bathroom cleaning your weapon, but it brings up like an old school like CRT screen and a little head of your character has to go collect bullets and avoid heads of the cult members. And once you collect all the bullets, you like Pac-Man ghosts, you have to eat all the cult members. There's one that's just straight up a walking sim that like gives you a little narrative context into like what she's going through internally and the conflict that she is feeling, not only against her father, but the leader of the cult. Really interesting stuff. It like feels like, as violent and vile as it is, it feels like such an art house piece as well. It's really interesting. It's like, it's simultaneously so Devolver, but like, I'm surprised it got picked up by Devolver because of how gnarly it is. It feels very similar in tone to like a Hotline Miami.
Mike, have you seen the Devolver E3 shows?
No, I know. But like recently their libraries though haven't been
fair.
Like,
that's fair. Like, you know, Plucky Squire,
even Cult of Lamb is sure gnarly in context, but it's cutesy, yeah, and cozy. Cute. Like,
yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you feel like even though it's only like 3 hours, it's worth that $14.99 price point?
Yeah, because I think with the replayability, like digging in, trying to get the challenges, each stage also has a leaderboard if you want to try to get like a high score. Like, it depends on like how little bullets you use, because you could shoot like gas tanks and cars to explode people. So yeah, if you want to try to climb the leaderboards. But yeah, I think 14 is totally fair for this. I'm also not one to like foo-foo price point. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just a me thing. So Canada in chat also, have you played Carrion? Fair point. Oh, there's just something about this though. It feels like, y'all know the movie Green Room that A24 put out? It feels like Green Room. Just like really fucking dingy and dirty, but like, yeah, in the best way possible.
Yeah. It has a nice aesthetic. It's one of those things that, quite frankly, that's what drew me before I noticed even the gameplay, right? Seeing how that the general like energy and like vibe it gives off, because it's always like, I don't know, like pinkish, purplish hues. And it's such a, I don't want to say like unique thing, but rather just kind of having it set, like you've said, in that sort of background where it's like a diorama, I don't know how to speak English, pulled through there, and seeing that in combination, the story was just the icing on the cake for me, because just gameplay itself was enough. Just vibes itself was enough. And now knowing that there's additional things, this is one of those things where Devolver Digital always gets my money and I hate it, because it's just like, I can't seem to save a dollar. You know what I mean? I'm trying to go through the millions of games on my freaking backlog, and yet, hello, here you are. Welcome. So yeah, I get it from the vibe. I totally get it. It's one of those things where, quite frankly, and I even forgot to mention this, I should probably add this in. When the Escapist video crew got laid off, quote unquote laid off, they formed Second Wind. So yes. I still help out with Second Wind, and we had access to it in the account, and I haven't even played it. And I'm just like, one of those things where I've been failing as a human because I've realized I've only went to my comfort food of games or choice of games. Sure. And rather, it's one of those things where it's just like, I hear this and I'm like, you're hurting my credit card right now. Don't do that. Think otherwise.
Nah, don't think. Just buy. Hit purchase. Be a consumer.
That's not good. See, that's if that was the logic I'd be. I was looking at wrestling tickets as if I want to buy the next one. I'm like, I should probably not do this, but it's also cheaper than what I anticipated.
Mm. We going to Greensboro? We're going to Raw and Greensboro?
If you pull the trigger, we could buy it together.
We'll buy it together.
I'll literally Venmo you what you need.
Next payday? Psh, let's go.
All right. Say less. Let's do it.
Sick. Okay. Anyways, that's Children of the Sun. Super rad. Highly recommend it. Please check it out. Also, worth mentioning, I've been playing on Steam Deck. Docked. Plays great on Steam Deck. It's verified. All that good stuff. Steam Deck. Pretty good little console. Know what I'm saying? Mm. Pretty good console.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah?
Really quickly. I forgot a really quick fast news thing.
Wow.
I didn't hear it because it's one of our favorite games of last year. Dredge is getting a movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Dredge is getting a movie.
No way. What? That's dope.
Live action from Story Kitchen.
Story Kitchen.
I have the Variety article up. They say, like, think Sixth Sense on the water. So,
I mean, yeah.
That's kind of what the film version is, what it's going to be. So. It's kind of cool that Dredge, our like favorite little indie of last year, is going to be on the big screen. That's wild.
See, but this is where I get skeptical because I immediately think, how are they going to flub this up? If they try, I want it to be really what it was at its core. And it's, I don't know. I'm one of those, oh, look, I got became blurry again. I'm one of those people where, quite frankly, I couldn't even tell you. It's just like, hello, good morning. No. And I can't even click call settings without refreshing. It's one of those things I'll wrap up quickly and just say like, oh, I lost my train of thought. Actually, you win. I'm going to go toss the mic to you because I'm just a blurry person now.
Yeah. Story Kitchen, right?
Yes.
They are also doing, I think they also announced, a Vampire Survivors thing.
Did they?
Blasphemous, something like that. There's another indie project that they are attached to. I forgot what it is, but they did announce something a couple years back. I'm curious to see what the first of these indie adaptations are. Obviously, we've seen plenty of video game adaptations come out. Supposedly, the best one ever made dropped yesterday with Fallout. I'm very curious to watch that this weekend.
Yeah, people saying that, though. But, like, did they see The Last of Us show? Because, for real.
I don't know, man. Wild. I'm curious to see like the quality of the Story Kitchen projects and hopefully do it justice. Hopefully there's a great crew and a good director attached.
You would know this better than anyone, Mike.
Sure.
But on the Story Kitchen projects part of the website, they've done the Sonic movies.
I think maybe they did like assets.
Because they're attached to all three of them.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's the Tomb Raider. Thing. There's Dredge, Disco Elysium, It Takes Two.
Huh.
Maybe they're more into games than I thought. Teddy Ruxpin? What?
Okay,
cool. Streets of Rage, Toe Jam and Earl. Vampire Survivors is on there for projects. Slime Rancher.
I think that's what I'm thinking of. Slime Rancher.
Yeah.
It's a lot more on that list than I thought.
Yeah.
I literally just thought it was Vampire Survivors. All right. Well, we'll see. Trivia. Did you know that there was an indie game adapted into a film a couple years back, but not a lot of people talk about it.
Dare we ask?
Devotion from, was it Red Candle?
Red Candle. Hold on.
The Nine Souls developer.
Okay. I'll act like I remember which one Nine Souls is.
The super dope Metroidvania Souls-like.
Is that with the fox?
Sekiro-like. Yeah, with the fox.
Okay, it's coming to my mind.
Great. I thought this was going to be more like a, oh, wow, okay. Never mind. Go play Devotion.
Very worried game. I will blip out at any second. So
you're blipping, I'm blurry, I don't know what to do.
Anyways, Devotion, Red Candle Games, very good game. Sorry, is it Detention, not Devotion. Detention.
Oh, Devotion is a game though, because I just found
Devotion
it.
Is a game. I think it's Detention got the film adaptation.
Got it.
Hmm. Yeah. Anyways.
I love Detention. I kind of have lost all my faith in video game, anything related to movie and TV after seeing that Borderlands trailer. God, if that does not look like a piece of hot, wet garbage. I don't know. It
looks fun.
Oh my God. It looks so stupid.
I'm in between both of you guys. I understand because I played the game and I like want it to be better casting in some regard. And I'm like, why is she like 90 now?
Why is she 90 years old? Yeah.
But in addition, I know Jack Black's attached to it. I know Kevin Hart knows what to do when he's in some dumb situation. So I'm like, if the writing's there, or at least delivery.
Kevin Hart doesn't act. Kevin Hart is just Kevin Hart.
Right, but that's what you need in this movie. Like, you need that energy.
Not for that role. I don't know. I don't think any of the, right, not for that role. Any of the casting choices are right. Oh, man.
Anyways.
Polarizing.
Back on track. Kyle, you and I sat down to preview a video game yesterday.
Sure did.
Among Ashes. Do you want to tell me about it?
Sure. It's a old school PS1 style game within a game where you were playing. I'm trying to think of the made up game.
Night Call,
which is like a Resident Evil 1, Silent Hill, PS1 era. But it also has like some meta stuff going on where you are talking over like Messenger with your friend and like, oh, I found this really cool horror game, and brings you to the forum posts, and you read all the forum posts and you click the link to download and you can check out all your other friends on the list. Very much Emily's Away meets old school horror games. And then at the very end of when we started playing, that's when it kind of expanded and we got to leave the chair and explore the room and our apartment. So it feels like there's gonna be a lot of like ring situations where it's gonna come out of the screen maybe and scare us in real life, quote unquote. It was a lot of fun watching Mike play. Because Mike couldn't see shit, and it was funny. But B, like it was like I was filled with tension and dread, just being a watcher. So they're obviously nailing the vibes. How did it feel, Mike?
Funny. Feels great for a game that tries. Well, first off, for a game that's doing multiple things in terms of a old school retro throwback survival horror game, an Emily's Away like, and a first person, not walking sim, but walking sim like horror game, for it balancing three completely different genres, it's nailing each and every one, especially because most of our time was spent in the survival horror, Resident Evil 1, Silent Hill, PlayStation era kind of game. It felt fantastic. Like, usually those kind of games, they're done decently. But you could kind of tell, like, it doesn't, you know, when it doesn't feel super tight, you could tell, and it does kind of like stand out. Playing this early demo of this game, it felt great. Maybe like shooting the revolver, but again, this monitor in front of me, very dark, and I couldn't see doors and body parts.
I will say my favorite thing of this demo is how it started, where we were playing like an old school Doom clone.
Yeah.
And we kept losing to the boss, and we're thinking, oh, we have to beat the boss to continue whatever it is. And then we lost a second time. And then our friend's instant message pop up and be like, oh, how's it going? And it brings you out of it and kind of like shows kind of the meta narrative kind of aspects of it. Because we were both like, how the hell are we going to beat this boss? I'm shooting him. Nothing's happening. He's doing like 50 yeah. points of damage. It was insanely hard. We were getting frustrated.
And it's really cool that it plays into the survival horror game as well, which, yeah, that's called Night Call, where the first like real puzzle that you come across, which Kyle, I did cut out our foolishness with the puzzle. but yeah, when the first puzzle you come across, like you see your friend Mark DM you, or I just instant message you, not DM, DMs didn't exist. saying like, hey, this is bullshit, this is bugged, nobody can figure out the solution, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, okay, so I dug into the forums, and he gives you like essentially the riddle of how to solve the puzzle. So then,
yeah, one of the in-game notes is bugged and it's not showing correctly. And actually in the game, when you read it, it's like a corrupted file that says, can you see me? So it kind of adds like the spoopiness of it all.
Yeah, so like you go back in and then you're able to, you could swap back and forth between like your desktop and the game itself. And our crux to this that you do not see in our Let's Play that is available on youtube.com/61indie. Kyle and I spent 15 to 20 minutes trying to solve this puzzle of counting whiskey bottles. It turns out we couldn't differentiate between whiskey and rum at first, and it caused us to delve into madness for a solid 20 minutes. So thankfully we got over that hump, and from there it was great. And go back another 20 minutes or whatever, we struggled because for another 10 minutes digging through menus because your boy forgot how to go back to the desktop, even though it clearly gave you that tutorial in the beginning of the game. I just forgot how to do it, and at some point I quit the game by accident. It was a whole mess. Nothing to do with the devs, nothing to do with the game. The game is fantastic. Can't wait to play more. But I've been excited for Among Ashes for a long time, but getting my hands on it, it exceeded expectations. And we got a press release about it today as well. The demo is dropping publicly for everybody on April 15th as a part of Steam FPS Fest. So y'all can meet little Derek for yourselves.
Yeah, a little prick.
A little motherfucker.
Looks like this could run on a potato right now, if I'm looking at this. It says, what is it, RX 370? It's not even an RX or a GTX 950. Yeah, okay. You probably run this on your Steam Deck at like 120 frames at this point.
Well, when you get out of your seat and you're exploring the apartment's it's stunning looking.
Yeah.
I'm
juggling multiple aesthetics.
Well, I'm it's a weird thing, right? Because I'm not trying to judge a book by a cover, but also grasp as much as I can from the Steam page. It's one of those things where it does have, like you've mentioned, the Emily thing, where it's just like, oh, the artwork hits that same vibe where it's not exactly low res, not exactly the most highest of res, but then when you're seeing the GIFs, I'm just looking at the apartment and seeing how it swifts to like the gunplay, and I'm like, oh, give me something in a psychological thing and I get a gun, it's probably not the best option, but I'm here for the vibes after I yell and scream and die a million times.
You also get like a billy club.
It's your police officer, because Amy was holding out. Amy had this goddamn pistol the entire time.
We had to wait for her to, succumb to injuries, quote unquote, without spoiling things.
Ridiculous. Amy didn't want you to know her profession. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
That's fair. Amy was probably the most terrifying part of the demo. She jump scared us multiple times.
She just follows you around constantly, and Mike turns around and she's just right there.
I also need to say, when you said that you guys were stuck and on whatever the stream for 20 minutes, I'm like, for whiskey bottles, I'm like, I need you guys in a freaking escape room. I want to see the chaos that ensues from there. It would be hell, and I kind of want every bit of it.
We were on it. It was the same color liquid. It's just the wrapper of the bottle was different, and we were just looking at the liquid. That's what tripped us up.
The bottles are shorter, and they were a different shape. And,
you know. We wanted to be cool for the internet, and we failed.
Yeah. There was also math involved.
Sudoku? No.
Well, it was like the six whiskey bottle, or the whiskey bottles minus three. The the portraits of the ladies minus four.
Yep. The sum of all together. Of the numbers minus the number of deer heads in the room. Like, it was stuff like that.
Plus the number of spots on the toad on the desk.
No way. We were
very frazzled. It was like that point of like, we wanted to like hit this embargo this morning.
Right.
But at that point I was like, I don't think it's happening.
Well, when they start giving you YMX plus B, you got to start figuring out all the extra shit. You're like, maybe this wasn't the best idea.
But again, that was just me and Kyle being dumb. Nothing.
To be fair, that would have been me too, because it's one of those things where I noticed I'm not one of those people when I analyze and I'm in a puzzle, I do it very surface level to see, because traditionally I'm like, okay, if there's a strong narrative, usually you'll get like some light puzzling. And then you get those one or two games where they sneak it in and it's just like slap heavy in your face. Here's your roadblock. And I'm like, I've done everything. I've circled this map a million times. There's no way look, the crayon's right there, or some silly shit to get past the puzzle, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've been playing two of our favorite games here on IndieCast. Would you like to chat about them for a little bit?
Did we previous say, does Baltero really count? I've been calling it Baltero. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. It's Balatro.
I was referring to a short hike and spin rhythm.
Oh, well, we could talk about that too.
Earlier.
No. Yes, you did write that. I'm so sorry. Well, it's going to be a very short conversation for a short hike.
That's fine.
So, long story short, I was kind of going through how do I describe this without sounding too personal? I think like most people, we go through our ups and downs, and I had a heavy wave of depression. Hell, I'm still going through it. You probably can't tell, but I try to block that out because, yeah, I don't deserve that. But in doing so, I was looking for a spark because, quite frankly, one of the bigger things I've said, and I expressed this to Mike, I was like, I miss a lot of like being able to be a content creator and also being able to just play games and like not focus on sales and this, that, and the third. Like, work has kept me so preoccupied. I haven't had an opportunity to really play. So a friend had recommended that I try something silly. And he was like, you should change genre. Stop playing FPSs. Stop playing WWE. You don't need to finish stories. You're fine. Just do something else.
The story's been finished.
No, it's still going. I believe there's some lore in there, but we'll get there when we get there. But yeah, so I started to play a short hike, and man, it's one of those things where I kind of just repeated myself and I sound a little crazy where it's just like, I'm trying not to judge the book by its cover based off the Steam page. And yet I went in with that low expectation and bear, and I have only put in probably like 20 minutes. It's not crazy. However, those 20 minutes have been blissful. I don't know how to describe it. I feel like I'm already getting into a situation where I can kind of project where the end narrative kind of looks like, or the general takeaway. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to get on this roller coaster ride. I don't know. I also kind of have like this fear of like when I get a chance to get into an indie game and I don't have to sync it to like embargo, or like I'm just playing as a consumer. That's when I realize I'm not as critical and very so much more flexible. And here I am looking at it like, I don't really give a shit of what like I other expectations were. They call it the walking sim genre. And I'm like, maybe I'm just a punk. I kind of like it. It's one of those things where it's very new to me. And maybe, I mean, do you guys have experience? I'm assuming you guys, it's a very short game. I'm assuming you go all beat it. No,
it's a very short hike. Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's on my list. I haven't beaten it yet.
Oh, you haven't
yet? No. But like the same vein, like Little Gator Game is essentially the same vibe, and
right.
Well, it's that just was like you know, the feelings of like when you were a kid playing a game, and just like the pure joy from what you're doing, and not have to worry about like numbers or
right
min maxing or whatever.
Right. It seems like that kind of light and easy vibe that I've been so desperately needing. Because quite frankly, everyone can judge me now. I'll say it so that way we can just get it out. I play a shit ton of Fortnite. It's bad. I have been playing since season zero. I don't know how to stop. And because I've gotten, see, look, you're pulling it out. I didn't even know they made, you know, is it a dying art where they don't really publish indies as much in a physical form? Is it just dying now?
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Limited Run, Super Rare.
Super Rare. Yeah.
Okay,
they're keeping them alive, carrying the mantle.
I love that. But I know I got to finish it. And I know the reason why my friend had recommended it to me is because I did review the Little Gator Game and everyone thought I was crazy. I'm usually the type of person where like I'll be analytical where I have to be. But something about like childhood, like core nostalgia gets to me. I know that's my weak point whenever I look at assets, and Gator Game did that. And they were like, you got to get this little vibe here too. And I'm like, okay. I don't need tears in my life. So I will get there. I'm sure I will ping someone at one point complaining that it was too short and that I need to replay it immediately.
Make sure you take your time exploring the island, because there is a lot that, despite it being a more bite-sized game, there's a lot to dig into. Were you playing on Steam Deck?
Yeah.
Look at the achievements also. The achievements will help you kind of like, it'll encourage you to explore the island a little further.
Oh yeah, for sure. This is one of those things where I'm looking for that I can take my time with, because quite frankly, that's the energy. I know it may be short, but that's the thing. I'm also an achievement hunter by heart. When you work for a website called True Achievements, True Trophies, and all this other shit. Yeah, of course. But yeah, that's one of those things where I will take that advice, because I'm probably going to need to like FC that just for pride. But outside of that, Spin Rhythm XD. And I wonder why I have a copy of that. Weird. But no, when you, what was the 24 hour charity stream where you guys were showcasing that? Yeah, yeah. The Extra Life one. I just, from literally leaving, cause we were there together and all in person. And then when I broke out,
juiced you.
Yeah, you juiced me hard. Okay, no, stopping. I'm not feeling very oozy right now. So I'm just at this point doing it because...
Is that what the witch's brew was, Mike?
Yeah, you have the where you think the core ingredient is of which is fair.
Extract of will.
Oh, okay. We're spinning with rhythms in XD. So like I have a love for like Guitar Hero Rock Band, that era I grew up. I got plastic guitars right there right now. I play the Fortnite Festival because I'm a child. So this scratches that itch in such a way where, quite frankly, I don't know. I feel like a kid playing like a PS1 or PS2 demo, like when you don't know the soundtrack and yet it's a whole different sort of like medley and mix of like multiple genres that kind of feel similar, but yet have their own sort of vibe. I almost wish there was like a mod community that could throw in, because I'm like, I kind of want the challenge of playing something a little bit more modern in that regard, because I already have the DLCs, but that's just me complaining. That's like first world problems. Outside of that,
you're playing on Switch, right? Still?
No, I'm playing on Steam.
Are you playing Steam? I haven't dug into it, but there is like a whole track editor in there and you could download tracks.
Right. I've seen it. It's one of those things where like I haven't really dove fully into.
Same. Yeah.
And I probably should, but I my first initial reaction was that, oh, they're going to want me to create a beat or like make a song. And I'm like, that's going to be bad. Like, yeah. Don't put me on that. But I'm sure there's a community that's going further. I've just been kind of taking that in. But I've also found it like I thought I would like it best on controller. I actually like it better on keyboard and mouse. I did not anticipate this. Yeah. And I'm not a keyboard and mouse player. I think it's just because I have the DPI like high as hell. So I could just be like a little boop and it's gone. Sometimes when I spin on the Steam Deck, I think my Steam Deck is a little slow. He's like, oh, you pushed me. I don't remember that thumbstick moving. And I'm like, oh, okay. What the hell is Steam this? Deck,
you got to play with the trackpads. The trackpads.
I'm not a trackpad guy. I forget it's there.
I mean, me either. It's great though. It's the only reason I use the trackpad is spin rhythm.
9 times out of 10, when I'm touching the trackpad, it's out of mistake when my thumb just hit over and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot that's there.
But yeah, so it's like you use like righty or lefty?
I'm a righty.
So with your right thumb on the right trackpad, like just pretend this is it. Mm-hmm. Scrubbing left and right on the thing, you know, the whatever you want to call it, the runway catcher thingy majig. And then just simply like tap the big notes. Like you don't have to worry about face buttons or anything like that. It feels so good. And it's so responsive.
Well, I'm gonna humble myself. I don't play on like the highest difficulty. This is the one thing I've seen some of y'all go in and I'm like, y'all need like, I don't know. I'm looking at y'all like my high score will not be the same.
I could like FC tracks on normal. Hard is where I start to struggle a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
I could get through that on hard, but it's a struggle.
I'm just not built like that. It's one of those things where my brain's like, oh wait, I have to do this. It feels so unnatural. It's like trying to play like the closest thing I can compare it to is like DJ Hero for the first time. Sure. And you're like, I played Guitar Hero, so I'm accustomed to hitting and strumming, but like now there's a motion that I have to keep in mind and now there's a little thing to change. It's a little layer of difficulty, but nothing too crazy. It's one of those things where I feel like eventually I'm gonna have to take a break after so many hours, but nah, I can't complain. But that's only the two indie games I think I've been playing recently.
God, I might boot it up tonight.
It's a great game.
I should call her.
Ms. Rhythm. My one wish is because there is that one Lana Rain Celeste track in there. I really want one day for the devs to just be like, start reaching out to indie composers and get tracks in there. I think that would be dope. Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah. And shout out to Anamanaguchi. Anamanaguchi also has one track in there.
See, you've said more words today in combination of indie titles and just that. And I'm like, if I had to take a shot for every time, it makes me uncomfortable when you say it faster.
But composers of the Scott Pilgrim video game, Anamanaguchi.
You know what? You would think I know that because I know who self-publishes. Well, no, it's not. I don't know. That's true. Mistakes.
Well, those are indies that we've been playing that they're already available. Kyle, if I want more indies, what's happening this week in indie? I gotta get better at this transition.
Yeah, you're doing great.
That was nice.
I'm going to try to do it before I get blipped. Tuesday, April 16th, Harold Halibut comes to PC, Xbox Series X, and PS5. Harold Halibut is a handmade narrative game about friendship and life on a city-sized spaceship submerged in an alien ocean. Join Harold as he explores a vibrant retro future world in his quest to find the true meaning of home. I'm so stoked this is finally coming out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's been a long time coming. We played this, it was during lockdown, right? The first
Tribeca,
time we, Tribeca.
It was part of the Tribeca Games Festival.
I think during lockdown, because I think I was still in Mount Kisco.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we got to play this via Parsec. It was like our first Parsec demo, which is weird. And it was weird covering Tribeca that early. But yeah, stoked.
Very excited for it. And then on Thursday, April 18th, No Rest for the Wicked comes to PC Early Access. From Moon Studios, the award-winning developers of Ori and the Blind Forest and Ori and the Will of the Wisps, comes No Rest for the Wicked, a visceral precision action RPG set to reinvent the genre. And then weird finally, description.
That's all I could find, though, without getting into like the lore. I think it's a Souls-like action RPG. It's like a
pirate Souls thing, yeah.
Yeah, like top-down-ish, isometric.
Mm-hmm.
Looks great.
And it's got the beautiful Moon Studios like look to it.
Yeah, I heard fantastic things so far.
Yeah. And then finally on Thursday, Umurangi Generation VR comes to Quest and PSVR 2. Umurangi Generation is a first-person photography game in the shitty future set in Tauranga. Tauranga.
Ontario
of the back of an impending crisis. You are a courier for the Tauranga Express. Throughout the game, you unlock a variety of lenses and equipment.
Yo, speaking of punk rock video games, Umurangi Generation is the most punk rock video game ever made, bar none. It fucking rules. Everybody needs to play Umurangi Generation. I wish I had a headset to play it in VR.
God, I mean, I can let you borrow mine. My Quest literally just sits there unless I'm playing Beat Saber. So,
literally same.
This is like me and Matt made a promise to ourselves. We're like, oh yeah, we need to get updated headsets before Umurangi Generation VR comes out. Obviously, didn't happen.
Life happens.
Yeah, it's fine. Too expensive for one game, you know. But yeah, cool. Everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight and listening to the 6-1 IndieCast. Please do us a huge favor. Wherever you're listening or watching, leave us a review, drop a comment for the algorithm on YouTube, give it a thumb up, share it with your friends, smooch a favorite, you know what I'm saying? Give it a little smooch. Give your favorite episode a little smooch. Right, Becca?
Where's HR here?
There you go.
Well, no, now they're giving in.
I think Kelsey, technically. We will catch you next week for another episode. Yeah, I got nothing for you. Go check out that Among Ashes video. Kyle and I are going to try to record a bunch of other Let's Plays. So keep an eye out on the old YouTube channel. And we're getting to Clocked Out. Catch you later. Play more indies.
Bye.
Bye.